The following is a lecture entitled How to Be Happy at Work, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 12, 2014, at Mauritius Government Agency Enterprise Mauritius, Port Louis, Mauritius.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadudam Varijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desatarine. So, everybody in the world wants to be happy. So why people are so unhappy? Actually, happiness is the natural state of consciousness. Just as a fish is naturally meant to be in the water, so the living being is naturally meant to be happy. So much unhappiness is there in the world today because we are not in our natural position. That's so. We have created an artificial society based on bodily consciousness. Instead of identifying as the actual spiritual entity which we are, we misidentify with these bodies. The self wants to live forever. That's called the survival instinct. We all want to live forever. But by nature's way, this body is forced to get sick, to get old, and die one day, today or tomorrow. Therefore, as long as we continue to identify with the material body, there has to be anxiety, because we're buying into a conception of reality which is a temporary reality, which is actually incongruous with our actual inner psychology. So the key to be happy in the workplace, to be happy at home, to be happy wherever we are, is to understand that we're not these bodies. These bodies are just coverings. Just like I have this shirt on today, tomorrow I'll be wearing a different shirt, but I'm still the same person. So your body is just like a shirt. We've had millions of bodies and millions of different lifetimes. And even in this body, even in this lifetime, I mean to say, we have so many changes of body. Lord Krishna describes this in the Bhagavad Gita. Dehi nosmin yata dehe kumaram jovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dirastatra namhuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. So note this term. Actually, the Sanskrit word is ditta. One who is undisturbed, a self-realized person. So the key to be happy in any position, in your job, in your family relationships, with your friends, in your hobbies, and whatever you're doing, the key to be happy is you have to become ditta. You have to be self-realized. You have to understand, who am I? Am I this body? Am I something different? The body is always changing at every minute. At every moment, the old blood corpuscles are dying, and the new blood corpuscles are taking their place. But you, the observer of all these changes, remains the same. I can remember when I was a young man, now I'm an old senior citizen. But actually, I am not those changes. I can see there's a different, my body is going through these changes. But I, the person who's observing these changes of body, the same person. So if you actually connect with your actual self by understanding I'm not the body, I'm the eternal spiritual being situated within the body, then you can be tolerant of all the dualities of the material nature. Krishna describes in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Matra sparsha stukanteya shitoshna sukha dukada agama payano yas tang satiksha svabharata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and the disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. One must learn to tolerate them, O scion of Bharata, without being disturbed. So now it's the winter time. It's a little chilly here in Mauritius. You see, a little uncomfortable. If you go to Northern Europe, it's very uncomfortable in the winter, you see. So the dualities are there. There's night and day, there's winter and summer, there's sickness and health, there's poverty and wealth, there's honor and dishonor. There's so many dualities that we face in this existence. But if you realize your spiritual nature, which is qualitatively one with God, then the dualities won't faze you. What is the nature of God? God is eternal. God is full of knowledge. God is full of bliss. And each one of us being part of God, just like a drop of ocean water has the same chemical composition as the entire ocean. So we, the little particles of God, therefore share the same qualities of God, even though quantitatively we are different. God is big and we are very small. But qualitatively there we are one and the same. God is eternal, we are eternal. God is full of knowledge, we are full of knowledge. God is full of bliss, we are full of bliss. So if I'm not experiencing myself as eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, it is simply due to the fact that I'm misidentifying myself with this material body, which is temporary, full of ignorance and full of misery. It's like now I have some pain in my hand. Throbbing pain, you see. Full of misery. So the key is to connect with God. These scriptures recommend in the early morning you rise early and you meditate on God. You see, just like the Muslims, they bow down to Allah at certain times of the day. I was raised as a Christian family, and my grandparents were very pious. The whole family would get down on their knees around the breakfast table, and they would pray before we had our breakfast every morning. And now in the Hare Krishna movement, we chant Hare Krishna early in the morning, you see. So whatever your religious faith, or even if you're an atheist, you should study some philosophy in the morning, some higher philosophy. You see, connect with a higher principle every day, to begin your day. Because all of the things we're doing here in relation with the body, they come and they go. You need to connect with your eternal identity as a spiritual being. That's how you begin your day each day. You see, just like the Bible says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So every day you have to see, this is an opportunity for me to come one step closer to God. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Yat kadoshi yadashnasi, yajdahosi dadasi yat, yat tapashasti konteya, tat kadushva madarpanam." Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So I can guarantee you this. If every day you say, "My dear Lord, this day is your day. I'm offering it to you." And you come to your workplace in that mood, you're going to have a really beautiful day. You're going to feel happy. Because you're connecting with your eternal nature, which is full of bliss and knowledge. You see. If you simply think of the temporary things, well, I got to make the money to pay the bills and maintain my body, maintain my wife's body, my kid's body. That's the highest level of consciousness you have. You're going to be always like on the ocean, up and down. The waves will be tossing you up and down. Sometimes you'll be elated, sometimes you'll be depressed. So you have a choice. You can be tossed on the waves of the material nature, sometimes feeling good, sometimes not so good, sometimes rotten. Or you can be always blissful. It's your choice. In this human life, we have complete choice. The animals are dictated by nature. The dog has to bark. You walk by, ruff, ruff. You see, it's his nature. All the lower species, in the Vedas they're described, there's 8,400,000 species of life. In every species, they are simply being conducted by the material nature like puppets on a string. But the human being is unique of all the species. He has the ability to choose whether he wants to connect with the divine or just act on the material platform. He has that ability to choose. This is why a spiritual master is very important, because he reminds you. I mean, in the society in general, we wouldn't even know how to connect with the spiritual platform. The leading scientists now tell us there is no God. Just like this Dr. Stephen Hawking, he says, science has now come to the conclusion that everything comes out of absolutely nothing. This is his conclusion. And he's applauded by many people as the greatest brain in the world, Dr. Stephen Hawking. But think about it for a minute. What does science mean? You have to do an experiment, isn't it? Then you observe the data. And by doing many experiments and observing the data, then you can draw a conclusion. So where is the experiment that you can take nothing and get something out of it? Has any scientist ever done that? It's never been done, nor will it ever be done. So this idea that everything comes out of nothing is not scientific, it's dogmatic, you see. We should not base our life on dogma. We should base our life on sound philosophy, actual science. You see, this is how we should understand. So I can easily observe in my own life, for example. I can still remember as a little tiny kid. I was a little kid. I remember back in about 1949 when the television was first introduced in America, little black and white TV. I still remember in my crib, the baby crib, looking through the little bars in the baby crib with the little TV set there in the room, you see. Now, I'm not a little baby in the crib anymore, nor is the TV's little black and white thing like that. It's not these big, huge, half the room full screens now you can get, you see. But I'm the same person, you see, even though the body is different. The chemicals that made up that little baby's body in the crib, those chemicals are long gone. But the self remains the same. So I can easily scientifically observe that. Just using myself as a guinea pig, I can easily see that there is something beyond the body. I can easily see that. Well, then what about God? How you could understand that God exists? That's an easy one too. It's not difficult. Just like every machine requires an operator. Today we came in your very nice Mercedes car. Your driver, by the way, is he here now? He's expert. He's a very expert driver. Especially when he comes into that parking garage. I couldn't believe he's just so expert. Like he could drive the Indy 500 and be one of the top drivers. He's a very expert driver, you see. That very nice Mercedes car, it requires a driver, you see. Without a driver, it can't do anything. It just sits there. Or now here's a watch, for example. You see, this watch, unless there's somebody to wind it, or in my case, it's actually a self-winder. You have to wear it, and by wearing it, you keep winding it, you see. If there's no operator behind the watch or behind the Mercedes or behind any gadget in this material world, it doesn't operate. Every machine or gadget requires an operator, you see. So is not the universe like a big machine also? Just think about it. The sun rises it runs systematically just like a machine. So I can see that this universe is also a machine. So just as I can logically therefore understand in a scientific way by observing millions of machines that require operators, therefore this gigantic machine must also, as a scientific conclusion, must also require an operator. So there has to be a person, an operator, a big operator behind the big machine. There has to be. To think, well, every other machine has an operator, but this one doesn't, that's not scientific. That's dogmatic, you see? So, therefore, we can understand we have a spiritual nature. We can understand there's a supreme person there, whether you call him Allah, Jehovah, or Christ. There's a supreme person, Krishna, Govinda, you know, many names, many scriptures. All the scriptures agree there's a supreme person out there, and we have to develop love for him. So actually, all religion is one. The differences are only some minor details, but the essence of religion is one. There's actually only one religion, and that's to develop love for the Lord, the Supreme Person. So a bona fide spiritual master teaches the students how to tangibly connect with that Supreme Person and be connected with him at every minute, with every thought, with every word and every deed. Because when you're in that state of connection with the Supreme Person, that's called Jivan Mukta, your liberated soul. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami. Iha yasha harer dashe karmana manasa gada tinkala svapta vashasu Jivan Mukta sauchate. It's a Sanskrit verse. One who fully absorbs himself with body, mind, and words in the service of that Supreme Person is a liberated soul even in all conditions of this material existence. So you can be on any position. You can be the Prime Minister, you can be a street sweeper, you can be a student, a housewife, you can be a retired person, you can be working here at Enterprise, you can be in any position. And you can maximize your energy, maximize your intelligence, and maximize your bliss by being connecting yourself, or, as my spiritual master says, dovetailing yourself. If any of you are familiar with carpentry, there's what's called a dovetail joint in carpentry, where the things are very tightly interlocked. It's a dovetail joint. So Prabhupada always, my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he always says, you have to dovetail yourself with the Supreme. See, so you're just completely interlocked with the Supreme Person. And so what's the essence or the key to how to do that? It's a very simple word. It's a four-letter word, a nice four-letter word, not a bad four-letter word. Love. The key is love. That's it. How do I connect? Just look at it practically. There's a Supreme Person there. And now we also see so many persons in this room. How do you have a good relationship of working together as a team? Isn't it based on love? If I hate you, how can I work well with you? Yeah, I hate you. You see? Can't stand it. Hate your guts. I can't work well with you, you see. We can't do things. We can't accomplish things together very nicely if we don't have a loving feelings. But when love is there, we can do so many wonderful things together, you see. So that same principle applies to the Supreme Person. Try to awaken your feelings of love for God. Because you do so, then you can perfectly act in harmony with Him in a wonderful, happy state of mind. So in the Vedic literatures, this is why we recommend that everyone should read the Vedic literatures, whether you're a Christian, a Hindu, a Jew, a Muslim, whatever you may be, a Sikh. We recommend, by studying the Vedic literatures, you'll become a better Muslim. And there are Muslims who study the Vedic literatures, by the way. I even know of a Muslim here in Mauritius who does that. We recommend everyone to study the Vedic literatures because these teach you how to understand God in a very personal way. Now, sometimes God's personal nature is a little hidden in the Bible and the Quran. But it's there. The Quran also describes God as a person with a form. If you there are verses. One of my godbrothers in our movement, he's from the Muslim community, and he has written a very nice book showing how the Quran establishes God as a person with so many different verses from the Quran. So whatever your religious persuasion is, actually, we can universally, from all the scriptures, we can come to the same conclusion that God is a person. So with a person, you develop love for that person. That's how you can make your relationship very good with that person. So the Vedic literatures are very, thorough and complete in describing God as a person. For example, in the famous book Bhagavad Gita, God is actually here. Krishna is actually here on this planet. Describes how he came 5,000 years ago. He was having a conversation. You can read so many verses also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Describes how he dresses, what kind of clothes he likes to wear, how he keeps a peacock feather in his hair, how he plays the flute. These aren't just poetic similes. These are historical facts. So you can actually find about what God likes to do, what he likes to eat, what his pastimes are. And this is actually a very practical thing. I remember when I was a kid, I was fascinated with one movie star. So I used to go down to the drugstore and buy the latest movie star magazines to see what my movie star was up to. You see? What my favorite movie star was doing now, what they said, what they did. And by reading about my movie star, then the feelings became stronger, you see. The more I learned about my movie star that I was a fan of, the more I became, the feelings of love for that movie star, the feelings of The more I knew, it's like they say, to know him is to love him. The more you know somebody, the more you can love them. Just like when you first meet somebody, there's not so much strong affection, but by working with that person, having pastimes, activities with that person, your feelings of love increase. The more you know them, the more you love them. So the same thing applies to God. Therefore, especially there's a book called the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto of that Bhagavatam, it gives the details of Krishna's entire life. You can study his whole life, what he did as a little kid, what he did when he was a teenager, what he did when he was became a youth, and this way you can read. It's amazing that actually Krishna, even though he was 120 years old, he still had the body of a 16-year-old. His body never aged, and that's confirmed in the scriptures. It says, the Brahma Samhita is stated that Krishna's body, Navi Yovanam, he's an eternal youth. And they say, well, how is that possible? Well, I'll tell you how it's possible. God controls everything, right? Or is he controlled by some power greater than himself? If God controls everything, why would he become old? You see, in the Christian painter Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel, he depicted God as an old man with a beard. But that's not the correct conception, because if God is all-powerful, why would he want to get old? Time is under his power, under his control. So the good news is, not only is God an eternal youth, but each and every one of us as spiritual beings are eternal youths. Even though our body gets old, we are eternally youthful. And when you regain your original spiritual identity by becoming perfect in love of God, you will actually enter in the spiritual world as you will also be an eternal youth. Sweet Six, there used to be a song called Sweet 16. You get to be an eternal youth in the prime of your life forever in the spiritual world. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good deal. The spiritual world is a pretty good deal. And if you don't like it, you can always come back here. So we advise everybody to check it out. Give this one life in loving service to God. Qualify yourself to go back to his kingdom. If you don't like it, you can come back to Mauritius and go through birth, death, old age, and disease again if you prefer that. But if you will take your religious practice very seriously as a Hindu, a Christian, a Sikh, whatever you are, try to always vibrate the name of God in the early morning to feel some connection. You see? It's like we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Christians sing Hallelujah, Hallelujah. The Muslims go, Allah Akbar. Keep every day, vibrate these vibrations, you see. Because this is called Shabda Brahma, or transcendental sound vibration. By vibrating the name of God as a daily meditation. Silent meditation is not as good. Actually try vibrating the name of God, you see, every morning before you come to work. Spend a few minutes, get up, take your bath, sit down and just chant the name of God for a few minutes according to your religious faith. Or if you don't have a religious faith, try chanting Hare Krishna. Get up in the morning and chant the holy names of God according to your tradition and just see what it does. Try it for 1 week. Every day, for 7 days, I'm going to do it just as an experiment. And I guarantee you, by the end of that 7 days, your boss will say, wow, I've never seen you so ecstatic before on the job. What's going on? Well, I've been chanting the names of God like Swamiji advised. You see? Things, if you will chant the names of God every day, you'll feel a tremendous boost of energy, enthusiasm, blissfulness, and it'll be contagious. Your coworkers will go, wow, this person's never been so ecstatic to work with ever before. You see? I've never felt such good vibes working with this person before. You see? So in this way, take advantage of the human life that God has given you. Take the advantage of the science of how to always be happy, and you'll be, your heart will be full of goodness, be full of love. And when you go to other countries to show off your merchandise, They'll go, wow, you people, there's something special about your country. We want to buy your merchandise. If anybody can be this happy, we want your merchandise. Because there's some vibrations we get from you Mauritian people. I've never seen a country where people are so happy, you see. Everybody be buying your products in the whole world just to see what is your secret, how you're so happy here in Mauritius. So now I have a few minutes left for some questions. The Upanishad says, the Supreme does not have form, shape, but omnipresent. You've misunderstood the Upanishad. The Upanishad says he's very near and he's very far away as well. He walks and he does not walk. So the Upanishads describe the Lord both with form and without form. So how is that possible? How you can have a form and not have a form at the same time? It seems contradictory, doesn't it? Here's the explanation. He has no material form. When it says the Supreme is abrupam, it means he doesn't have a form made out of material energy. That's what it means. Because the form is very clearly described. So when it says he has no form, it means he has no material form that's subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. It doesn't mean he's formless. It means materially speaking, he has no form. He has a spiritual form. That spiritual form is described especially in the Brahma Samhita. Ekopyasa vrachavyatam jagananda kotim nachchakta rasti jagananda chaya yaranta andanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. He is an undifferentiated entity. Is there no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof? In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that is scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. So because his form includes everything, we think, well, he must be formless. But we don't realize that Krishna is so amazing, he can be in one place playing his flute. At the same time, he can include everything within his form. So these things, this is why you have to have a bona fide spiritual master, because with logic you cannot grasp these things. They have to be realized by meditating, by hearing from the spiritual master and meditating in the holy name of God. Then you can personally realize these things. How God can have a form and not have a, can have a form and have no material form at the same time. Colleagues become envious of each other at work. Some perform black magic and create many disturbances when it comes for positions, for promotions. What can we do to stop this? Do we have any people doing black magic here? The tantric arts? Yeah, I'm going to put a hex on my competing for position, whether you want to put a hex on you. Well, black magic actually generally backfires on you. So I don't recommend black magic. You'll come right back on you. There's many examples. Somebody used black magic on the city of Dwarka, and they created a huge demon to attack the city of Dwarka, and that demon turned around and went back and killed the people that had created the demon. So I don't recommend messing around with black magic, because actually it ends up bouncing back on you. The best thing is to chant the holy names of God and depend on the Lord. Whatever position the Lord wants me to have, you see, just be dependent on the Lord, and you'll be amazed what happens. Just like I was just a simple pot washer in the temple, and I was depending on the Lord what my future would be in Krishna consciousness. And now here I am, a spiritual master, circling the globe twice a year. I was just a pot washer, and you know, I didn't do any black magic to try to get a position. I was just washing the pots, and now here I am, traveling all over the world to guide the human society out of chaos, you see, with no black magic. Okay. Let's see if I can... All right. Why is there always frustration among employees? Well, that means you didn't chant. You didn't chant the names of God, that's all. You got up, you just got out of bed, threw some coffee down your throat, and came to work. No wonder you're frustrated. You didn't connect with God before you got here. The general manager of a company is the leader of the company, but sometimes he is not able to address the issues. What quality he requires to properly and carefully perform his duty? Everyone has to connect with God. The manager has to connect with God, the workers. Everybody has to connect with God. That's the key. If you do that, you're going to have the most powerful department in the whole country. I guarantee you. If everybody connects with God here every morning, you're going to have the most powerful department in the whole country. Your prime minister is going to go, wow, let me give them more responsibility over there. The best way to be happy at work is to keep the boss happy. Well, let me tell you, don't neglect the supreme boss, okay? This boss is a junior boss. You're the supreme boss. I'm not talking about the prime minister. I'm talking about God, you know? You want to be happy. Every day you get up and please the supreme boss of the whole universe, and then I guarantee you'll be happy wherever you go. Happiness and distress are related to the body, while Ananda is related to the soul. Please explain the difference. Yeah. Material happiness and spiritual bliss are quite different. Because material happiness is only temporary. It's based on the body being in some favorable situation. And it doesn't last. It never lasts. Material happiness is always temporary by its very nature. So therefore, you need to come to spiritual happiness, Ananda. Because that can never be destroyed by anything. There's a gulf of difference between them. So you need a spiritual master to train you how to come to that state of consciousness, the Ananda state of consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he is everything, at the same time he is nothing. Where does he say he's nothing? What verse is that? I'm not familiar with that verse. Someone can show me that verse. I have the Gita right here on my iPad and I can look it up. I've never heard a verse where Krishna says he is nothing. I've never heard of such a verse. Huh?
They must have gotten
the translation must be flawed, because there's no such verse where Krishna says, I am nothing. Never seen such a verse. Show me the verse number. We can look it up and see the mistake your translator made. We'll look at the original Sanskrit and see the mistake that was made by in your edition. Because Krishna never says, I am nothing. Tomorrow, the lecture... Oh, this is my nice little lecture. So anyway, we got 5 minutes left, and the questions have run out. And, it's just been great to be with y'all here today. As we say in Texas, y'all. It's been great to be with you all here today. Connecting once again. I hope that somehow or other you've gotten a connection with some higher principles, so you can actually, you know, have a joyous existence. Can a fish out of water be happy in any circumstances? No. I gave the example earlier of a fish out of water, and that's our position right now in this material world. We have to admit it. We're not really fully connected with God. We're thinking about our bodies, our family's bodies, maintaining our bodies, earning the money to cover our bodily necessities and our body luxuries. That's where we're at right now. We're fish out of the water. So we can never be happy like that. As long as you base your happiness on material things, no matter how much material things you have, you can never be happy because you're not that body. Actually, the ultra-wealthy are the most miserable people. The ultra-wealthy people are the most miserable people in the world. Because money can't buy you happiness. Material sense gratification cannot make you happy. What makes you happy is loving relationships. And the perfection of loving relationships is with the Supreme Being. Because when you love the Supreme Being, who is the root of all existence, then your love automatically goes to everyone and everything. Just like when you feed your belly, your whole body is nourished. When you give your love to the Supreme Person, then you become a perfect lover of everyone and everything. So don't be a fish out of the water, just seeing only you to your material necessities of life. Do not do that. If you do so, you're wasting your time right now. I'll tell you right now, Shrama Evi Kevalam, if you simply see to your material necessities, you don't connect with the Lord, you are wasting your time, you're wasting your life, and you're not going to be happy, no matter how much you may be successful temporarily in this material world according to your karma. You can overcome your karma by connecting with the Lord. The Lord takes you to a higher position beyond your karma. Your karma may have been to achieve such and such in this life. You're limited by your karma. But when you take to God consciousness, your karma is no longer a limit. Because that karma, the Lord, when you come to the spiritual platform, you're beyond the influence of karma. You can accomplish a million times more when you come to the spiritual platform than you could have on the material platform. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hallelujah and Allah Akbar. Hare Krishna.